Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 196, Identity Crisis, Part 1. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on May 30th, 2021.
So, a famous minister in our land, Rick Warren, said this, "The greatest tragedy is not death, but life without purpose." So, today we want to talk to you about having a new identity in Christ, about what your identity is in Christ, and how you can have life with meaning and with purpose. So preachers and motivational speakers oftentimes focus on the importance of having purpose in life. They all tell you that life without purpose is not the right way to go. I guess that's probably a no-brainer. It's pretty intuitive. But still, many people suffer identity crisis and struggle even when they're shown that devastating effects of living without purpose is not a way to go. Many people feel that life has no meaning. They're often overwhelmed by their anxieties and have lost motivation and many times easily lose focus. Success seems very distant to those that are experiencing that. It's a real thing. It's not imagined. It's not just something that's in their head. It seems distant and unachievable. Nothing in life for them is enjoyable. And physical health even begins to deteriorate. All these are a result of a very real identity crisis and lead to a chaotic lifestyle. Psychologists often neglect the spiritual side of things, but some of their definitions are sometimes helpful. One of the websites gave this definition: an identity crisis is a developmental event that involves a person questioning their sense of self-place in the world. This kind of thing has been going on for a long time. Even Peter had an identity crisis. It says in Luke chapter 22, verse 56, "A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, 'This man was one of Jesus' followers.' Peter denied it. 'Woman,' he said, 'I don't even know the man.'" Peter denied his identity when confronted and about being a disciple of Jesus. Jesus, on the other hand, stood boldly and declared his identity to the Sanhedrin. "You are right in saying that I am the Son of God." He knew who he was, and he stood in it, and he walked in it. So, identity, your identity, involves experiences, relationships, beliefs, values, and memories that make up a person's subjective sense of self. This helps create a continuous self-image that remains fairly constant, but help is available. New aspects of self can be developed and strengthened over time, say the psychologists. Well, I happen to agree with that. They can be strengthened. You can have a better self-identity. You can walk in Christ in a new way. In the book of Judges, there's a story, Judges chapter 6, there's a story about a man named Gideon. It also illustrates this issue that we're talking about. Gideon went through the process of learning boldness in his identity with God. It says in Judges chapter 6, verse 12, that the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Just three verses later, Gideon replied, "But Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family." Gideon's natural inclination was to hide in the wine press, but his spiritual identity was that of a deliverer. God gave him his spiritual identity by sending the messenger. After the test with the fleeces, he began to believe the report that the angel told him about himself. I'm not recommending fleecing because you can get fleeced. It's not a new covenant practice. But gradually, Gideon realized that when God was with him, he could accomplish the impossible. Time after time, God reassured him even with the dream of a heathen man in a Midian camp, he reassured him that he could do the impossible. He could lead his people, and he could lead them to victory. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "And now we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." So God feels that it's important for you to have purpose in life. He feels it's important for you to know your identity in Christ. So we're going to look at that today, a little closer look, the identity that we have in Christ. So first of all, who is this Christ? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in me. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen by Cephas, and then by 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep." Then verse 15 says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." So if we want to model ourselves after anything, we want to model it after and pattern it after our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, because he's the one who is the life-giving spirit. You can experience that life-giving spirit when you come to Jesus if you know who you are in him. So we want to talk about several things. First of all, our identification with his death and resurrection. If you can identify with that, you can begin to understand who the new you is. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." And then he goes on to say that the life that he lives is by the faith of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. So we can identify, along with Paul, with the crucifixion and the death of Jesus Christ. Then we see from Colossians 1, verses 21 and 22, that Jesus not only died and we are associated with that death and that resurrection, but that he presented us holy and blameless before God. Also, he took care of all the accusations, all the things that were written against us, all the accusation that Satan brings against us, he took care of at the cross. In Colossians 2, verse 13 to 15, it says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, and has forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." So all of those things that Satan holds against you were taken to the cross. And Jesus triumphed over the enemy in it. Therefore, those demon powers don't ever have to rule in your life again. But you have to recognize that that's your new identity in Christ, to be free from the accusations of the enemy. So many times people have going around in their heads all the things from the past, all the things that brought them down, all the things that used to be. But no more when you've come to Jesus Christ. You were born again. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 says, "Since you have purified your souls in the obeying of the truth, through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, "You're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new." So either you believe that or you don't believe that, but it's possible to believe it in your head, not have it in your heart, and not be living that new creation reality. So if you want to identify with Christ, beginning to identify with his death and with his resurrection can bring you out of that place and put you in a new setting with him. The second thing is identification with the family of God. First of all, we have to recognize that we're united with Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for we died with Christ when we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know that we will also live with him." So we can identify by being united with Christ. Also, we've been adopted into the family. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. So even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family, bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Just think about that. You've been adopted into a new family, and it gives God pleasure. You know, sometimes it's hard for our minds to wrap around that because we know what we've done. We know what the past is. We know all of the bad picture. We know all of the bad things going on. But yet the Bible says we've been adopted into a family. We can identify with that family, and we can live as that family. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Those things in your heart can change your outlook on life. Those things in your heart can change how you see your identity in Christ. Oftentimes when we're on the beach in Ashdod, where Pastor Israel lives, we see children playing with their parents, and oftentimes you hear them cry, "Abba, Abba, Abba." They're saying to their daddies, "Abba, Abba," it's father in Hebrew. So that's the picture that Jesus is that Paul is giving us here in this scripture in Romans chapter 8, that we can call him our father because truly we are his children. It's a new identity that we have. And then there's the big family. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for it says, "For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to be like his son, so that his son could be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." The Bible says we become the righteousness of God in Christ. We have a new family. We can identify with that family. It's the new you. It's the new picture of you. Not only are you crucified with Christ and raised from the dead with him by being born again, but now you have identification with a new family of God. Maybe your family wasn't a good family. Maybe you had some things, some humps and bumps growing up, but God has a new family for you, and you can identify with that family. And then finally, we need to identify with his authority, the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ had. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 to 21 tells us about our inheritance. In verse 19 it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness?" This is a picture of our inheritance. "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who are to believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also that which is to come." That's your inheritance, to walk in that greatness of his power toward you. We also have authority over all the power of the enemy. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, this is before the cross even, Jesus said to his disciples, "Behold, I give you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." In Mark 16:15, Jesus said before he went back to heaven, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. So when you're identifying with this Jesus and identifying in his authority, you are tapped in to having all authority in heaven and earth with him, because you're seated with him in those heavenly places. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So it's possible for us to walk in that authority and to stand against all the schemes of the devil, all the schemes that he has to take you out of God's plan and purpose for your life, and to give you this new identity where you can walk in the power of the blood of Jesus and the power of Jesus' name. In Romans 8:37, it says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved him. Just think about that. If you're a conqueror, it's a great thing. But if you're more than a conqueror, just think of the mighty power, the mighty authority that Jesus has made available to you through him. It's through him who loved us. It's not in our own strength. It's not in our own power. As it says in the Old Testament, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord that we can walk in that way. But you can have and walk in that new identity. This is about changing your life. This is about changing your focus. This is about changing from the old you, the old human flesh-bound mortal body, to the spirit-filled identity with Christ, the identity with Jesus, the one who is the overcomer, the one who has the mighty power to give to you. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says that you can reign in life with Christ. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through one, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Now, I know we don't live in an era of having kings and so forth and so on. There are places where there are dictators, but in democracies, sometimes we lose the imagery of this. But to reign king in life means that you're in authority. You're in total authority. You have absolute authority. But when you don't walk in that authority, the door is open for the enemy to mess with your mind, to mess with your life, to mess with your stuff, to come and steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. So, in coming towards the close of this message, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And let's read that from the screen, if you can put it up there on the screen. Let's just read it together. Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. Everybody ready? 1, 2, 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Next verse. Even as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. So if you can get that scripture in your heart, By continually taking it in, you can be that new creation being that God has called you to be and have that new identity in Christ. If you aren't taking any action to turn your life now, chances are you'll be living in the same routine for the rest of your time. God doesn't want that for you, and surely you wouldn't want that either. Maybe life is uncertain for you, but you're capable to take control and to take back your life. Although past efforts to improve may have been thwarted by various circumstances and situations and things that have happened to you, no one would purposely want to live in constant crisis. Thankfully, getting out of this harmful and hurtful lifestyle is right within your reach through the Word of God. It's worth enduring short-term struggle to live a worthwhile lifestyle throughout eternity. Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ, you can, first of all, stop looking at your old identity of weakness and fear. You can stop confessing your old identity, Romans 4:17. Let Jesus be the high priest of your confession. And you can believe that God has called and equipped you to win your battles. Fear and timidity are just weapons the enemy has used to intimidate you. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you power, he's given you love, and he's given you a sound mind. So boldly confess to the world, to the devil, and to yourself, I am who he says I am. Let's say that. I am who he says I am. So, Father, we just thank you for the name of Jesus and for the power of the blood of Jesus. We thank you that you have given us a new identity in Christ. And, Father, as we walk forward in our life, we ask you through the blood of Jesus and through the power of Jesus' name that you will help us to walk powerfully in that new identity and taking life and love and peace and joy to the world that lives around us that's so crushed by every demonic witchcraft, satanic, occult assignment and assault against them. And Father, we just thank you for every opportunity and every open door that we have to minister into the lives of others. We ask, Lord, to give us many more opportunities in the day to come. And Father, we thank you for your grace and your favor flowing to us. Lord, help us to come to the world that we live in, not with words of man's wisdom, but with a demonstration of the power of the living God who created us to have purpose and to have an identity in Jesus Christ. And for it, we thank you and give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.